Hi, my name is Tracy Fitzpatrick, and I'm interviewing Macro Scheduler users about their experience with the software. With me now is Paul Griffin, a Macro Scheduler user that has now grown into an MJT business partner. Hi, Paul. Welcome.
Hello.
So, Paul, I know your story is a little unique. You began using the Macro Scheduler many years ago. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, one time I was a manager of mid-range and mainframe systems where you had a lot of keystroke emulators that I learned to use quite powerfully to send sales orders and shipments and then whatever we wanted into the system. But then, of course, when the world went to PC networks and mostly PC UIs, front ends, I kind of was without a tool for a couple of years until I found Macro Scheduler, I guess, in about 97, 98. And I used that at that point to just update and refresh data, things that people had to sit and do. Is what you can do with Macro Scheduler. So I had it refreshing data from various sources into an ERP system. Really, that grew into, like most businesses, people hear about what you're doing and say, well, can you do that for us? Mm-hmm. And so that grew into projects at businesses where we pulled data from various sources. Could be from a FedEx shipping system, could be from just an Access database, any SQL compliant database, right through the UI. So that's what it grew into.
Okay, so just pulling all of that, you know, enormous amounts of data out of systems to make things easier. And so now I know that your relationship has really grown with MJT, and you've actually created your own product, the App Navigator, mm-hmm. and it uses the Macro Scheduler almost as an engine. Is that correct?
Yes, it's fair to say that it uses Macro Scheduler command as the engine, but it puts them all in drop-down boxes instead of having to write the code. You know, say with every project, there's usually a little bit of code to write, but with App Navigator interface, you select a command, assign that command and actions to an image you grabbed off the screen. So anyone can just click and drag and pull up an image of something on the screen, and now you can just assign whatever action you want done to that image, whether it's right-clicking it or sending text to it or all those things without writing any code. So the beauty of moving that to driven by images now is you've got all that Macro Scheduler power, and we don't care what the interface is. So we can run websites, we can run mainframe, we can run Windows, anything that we can get to and see, then we can automate.
Wow, that's interesting. So tell me where you might be using the App Navigator. What kind of businesses would be using this type of tool?
Probably two or three big things App Navigator has fallen into, and one is because it emulates a user exactly as what they see. A lot of QA departments have purchased App Navigator, and that is before they roll out a release, whether it's a software company that rolls out a release to the world at large, or it's a large, for instance, Seattle Children's Hospital or Jamaica National Bank, there's certain their software departments in-house before they roll out a release on their users, they have AppNav pound through their system and make sure that everything's where it's supposed to be and do the QA and report back the QA result to someone before they roll it out. Another is, and then this is really growing right now, believe it or not, with the downturn in the mortgage industry, they're looking for ways to be more efficient. Mm-hmm. So as it turns out, they have to deal with it. They have to take their internal data, go to external websites constantly for just almost uncountable reasons. Mm-hmm. So they go to FHA, they go to, you know, government websites, they go to investor websites like Wells and Countrywide and City Mortgage and all those, and they have to enter all the data that they already have in their internal system to attain a lock for a loan or to transfer something to an FHA connection or, you know, anything along those lines. Well, AppNav does that beautifully. We'll read whatever internal data source you have and then go to whatever external source is appropriate and enter the data for you. Report back errors as they happen and sit and wait for the next one.
So this is clearly a big push in efficiency, I think, for both groups, the QA and then mm-hmm. the mortgage people like you just mentioned. How much time do you think they're saving? Does it come down to time or
sometimes
is they're able to do
time.
Things, you know, more quickly?
Sometimes it's time, and the average person would think, well, you're saving time. Instead of, for instance, taking 30 or 40 minutes to read your internal data, go to an external site, and type all the data in about a lock, for instance. Someone wants a loan for a home, so you have to lock that loan. Mm-hmm. Instead of that 30 or 40 minutes, that's about 5 minutes of time that AppNav takes. And there is some efficiency there, but you know the real payback for those guys is, let's say in one afternoon, 50 or 100 locks hit them all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them don't have the manpower to sit and lock all those loans quickly enough to get them at the rate that they're promised at. So,
people could be missing out potentially.
No, not the people, the company.
The company, yeah.
The people, if you're a consumer, we said we're going to get you this loan at 5.5.
Okay, so they've already guaranteed it.
Right, and now the market swings quicker that they can get them all locked, and they're losing money.
I see, because they're not going to come back and say, darn,
we didn't get it in time. Yeah, come back to a customer and say, hey, we tried, but, you know, we got it at 5.8, and that's not what you bought. So enables them now. In that hour, instead of closing, for instance, I have a customer with two people in the department that does these locks. They call it the secondary department. Instead of doing, you know, let's say they were super efficient and they did four in that hour. You know, now we actually have it set up where it'll do multiple locks at a time. So, you know, we could do a lock every 2 or 3 minutes, you know, where there works out to be maybe 20 locks in that hour.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we have a far better chance of getting everything locked at what we promised it at. I mean, we're talking about easily tens of thousands of dollars in losses if you can't get those things locked.
Right, and like you alluded to earlier, you know, the market's very tough right now,
mm-hmm.
and so they've got to really be on their game. And I would see this as an advantage, right?
A huge advantage, and I had no idea that I would have gone in touting, look how much more efficient you can be, whereas one of my first customers said, no, that's not the important thing. The important thing is we're not laid out there with all that risk when loan officers all ask for a lock in the same afternoon. So,
right.
It enables them to do something they couldn't do before, and something they just plain could not do.
That's very powerful, especially,
yeah.
Like I said, in this market.
Tell everyone, it's really that these products at Navigator Mattress Fits are like if you could purchase an employee, set them down at a desk and have them never get up.
Mm-hmm.
Teach them what to do, tell them what's an error, and, you know, who do you notify when you see an error. That's the kind of power you get here. A 24/7 employee that'll do anything you tell them to do.
Maybe we could develop one of these for children.
Yes, you're right.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Paul. Now for our audience, if you found this macro scheduler story useful, you may like to listen to our other user story podcasts by visiting our website at www.mjtnet.com. Or if you have a story of your own to share, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email to sharemystory@mjtnet.com.